Live from Studio 23 in Corvallis, Oregon, this is Super Cinema. I'm your host, Ben Hamlin. I'm joined, as always, by
Donald Orr.
And today we are talking about comics. Just comics in general. We're not covering any trailers. We're not covering any movies. We've been out for a while, so it's just time to come back and talk about the thing we love most. Our treasured medium, comics. Donald, how have you been, my friend?
I've been well. I've been reading a lot, actually, in my downtime.
As have I. That post-college lifestyle is doing wonders for me. So we have a lot of comics that we want to cover. Which one of us would like to start?
You can start, if you'd like.
Oh, I'd love to. At the insistence of our dear friend Katie Hughes, I have picked up and read the Brian Lee O'Malley book, Seconds.
And how is that?
You know what? It's a damn good comic.
Took you long enough.
Damn fine comic. Sir.
When did she give it to you?
No, it did take me like 3 months. It did legitimately take me 3 months. I have such a long list of media that people have recommended to me.
I have a lot, too.
Did I tell you, like 2 weeks ago, like somebody dropped like another three. Yeah, like another three things on me.
Really?
Yeah, no, someone recommended to me like a manga of all things.
Did you read Batman yet?
No.
Literally one of the best runs of Batman?
I've still read the first three issues of it, though.
Okay.
I'm halfway through. But anyway, I started with Seconds. Wow, that is a fantastic book.
Yeah.
That falls into the genre that I don't think gets played around with enough, which is, you know, magical realism.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the real world, but there's some minor fantastical element to it.
Okay.
Don't really know how best to describe it other than that. You know, it's not high fantasy like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or anything.
So what's the main narrative?
Oh, have you read it?
No.
Oh, holy shit. Okay. So it's about Katie. Who is this young woman who's, I believe, at least in her late 20s, who runs a restaurant currently and is looking to open up another restaurant.
Okay.
So, you know, otherwise that would be, you know, a totally normal story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dealing with, you know, growing up, you know, that kind of stuff. Finding your place in a city, place in the world kind of stuff. Except about like halfway through the first chapter. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, in the opening pages and then later in the first chapter, it turns out that her old restaurant is haunted. Not by like a ghost of any kind, but what appears to be, this is a slight spoiler, but some sort of like witch-like entity.
Okay.
So basically, think like, yeah, I was talking with Katie about this, you know, because I talked with her like the day after I read it because I helped her move up to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like Spirited Away. It kind of feels
really?
Like, it kind of feels like a North American Spirited Away. Canadian Spirited Away, I guess.
I need to read it then.
Yeah, no, it's really good because it's got the same kind of like, okay, this is going to sound weird.
Okay.
But there is like a branch of like fairy tale that is basically, you know, you shouldn't have messed with this power and now you have to suffer the consequences of it.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it pops up in like Americana a lot, like in like weird kind of like American myth stuff. It comes up in like Grimm's fairy tale shit.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, you know, you were warned not to do this, but you did it of your own free will and now you've got to suffer for it in some way. So it's got cool elements of that. It's got like, you know, house spirits that have like certain rules that are not explicitly stated and the character just kind of figures them out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with it comes the you shouldn't have messed with this power kind of shit. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's a Brian Lee O'Malley story, so it's like, you know, thoroughly modern.
Sure.
So if Scott Pilgrim relied on video games, this relies on old like witch mythos.
Oh, wow.
Like it is genuinely, and it's genuinely a fascinating, at points very creepy read.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that, you know, Brian's art style is a very cartoonish art style. And, of course, in Scott Pilgrim, you know, worked for that kind of, you know, pop imagery and everything. This is a book with that, you know... Sorry, there's like one panel that took me out of it. This is a book that takes some of that art style. And even though it's, again, so expressive, mm-hmm. the story can get like really creepy in places and really dark in some places.
Oh, wow.
Did I ever recommend the webcomic to you, Sin Tetulo?
You have not.
Oh, you absolutely should read it. It's Cameron Stewart's webcomic.
Okay, cool.
That he, like, it is 100% understandable why he finished that and then got hired by DC.
Right, yeah.
And I think he literally finished it about a year before he started Batgirl. Right. But that's another one that's very similar of the, you shouldn't have messed with this power. And it kind of feels, yeah, magical realism as well.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's just a really good book. Deals with time in a cool way. Illustrates a lot of... O'Malley's just a genius artist and does really cool stuff with his illustrations. Couldn't recommend it enough. It was actually a pretty brisk read, all things considered. It took me long enough, but that was mostly to crack it open. But like once it starts going, it really starts going. And it turns into a part mystery as well. So it's fascinating.
That's great.
I truly don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely check it out. I know he's releasing another comic called Snot Girl. I think it's out already, or it's about to be out.
But he's out already. Seconds just came out.
It's a new series he's doing through Image. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, he's writing. I don't believe he's doing art though this time. Oh,
that would explain it. Because yeah. I was gonna say Seconds only came out like a year ago.
Yeah, this is gonna come out on July 20th, so about a week from now, a little over a week, and it's getting a lot of buzz since it is Brian Lee O'Malley. So,
guy literally has not done bad work yet.
Right, art by Leslie Hung, and it looks fantastic. At least the covers do.
Oh, okay. I haven't
seen any of the inside interior, but I'm looking forward to that as well. I'll check out Seconds for sure.
Yeah, no, I can't do it any more justice than describing it as like Canadian Spirited Away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. That's awesome. Anything else you've been reading?
There absolutely is, but let's trade off.
Okay. Well, for
mostly
those...
Mostly because I need to go through Marvel Unlimited and remember what I read.
Right. For those who are close friends of the show, I actually stayed in a mental hospital for about a week and a half. And during that time, I actually read Moon Knight.
That's a nice reaffirming
read. Right? By Jeff Lemire. And I was like, holy crap, like... This is awesome because it's like a hero you can relate to because he doesn't exactly know, like he has like multiple personality disorder,
mm-hmm.
and in the new series it's totally like One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest meets like I don't even know, like this weird, like it's kind of hard to explain, like, but I've read the first three issues of it. I believe the fourth one just came out last Wednesday. And it is a very, very satisfying read, not only because of Jeff Lemire's excellent storytelling, but to the art, thanks to, I believe his name is Greg Smallwood. And I brought the number one in once a few episodes ago, and the art is absolutely fantastic. The line work, and it fits the style of Moon Knight very, very well. I was a big fan of Warren Ellis's 6-issue run of Moon Knight, as each issue is sort of like self-contained, but this run of Moon Knight is absolutely fantastic. You're sort of with Mark Spector as he's in this mental institution and he doesn't know exactly what's going on, but you know, and as a reader you can't exactly tell what's going on either. You sort of just go on with the story as he's in this mental institution. And then, you know, he sort of realizes that, oh, wait, I'm not crazy. Well, there's sort of this is he or isn't he crazy of being, you know, Moon Knight. And, you know, he puts the mask on and then he sees everything for what it is. And it's all like Egyptian stuff and it's all crazy and weird. And it's very Jeff Lemire. It reminds me a lot of his run of Animal Man, actually.
Oh, yes.
Which,
that was the New 52 one,
yeah, the New 52 one, yeah. And that was...
I remember that being very well acclaimed when it came out.
Yeah, it was very well... It was one of my favorites that came out of New 52. I'm really, really enjoying Moon Knight. And I brought that up before on the show, few episodes before. Superman American Alien finally wrapped up. I've been praising that book a lot. Almost every episode, anytime we talk comics.
I was going to say, I think it's been nearly consistent.
And it's finally finished. It's a 7-issue run, and it was absolutely fantastic. It is, honestly, it's up there with All-Star Superman for me. The hardcover comes out in a couple months, and I'll let Ben borrow it.
Thank you.
As long as he doesn't take 4 months to read it.
I will not, because I will not have school and ideally a steady job.
Yes. But yeah.
Hashtag hire me.
Superman American Alien is absolutely fantastic. Max Landis, he, no matter what you think about him, whether he's a douche or not, whether, you know, whatever, he understands the character of Superman like no one I've ever seen before other than Ben. He understands...
Bless your heart.
He understands Superman to a T. And what's great about this series is it's 7 issues, and I've explained in previous episodes, it's a different artist each issue.
Yeah.
It's these little vignettes of Clark's life. And, you know, the art they use for issue one is very whimsical and cartoony because he's a kid, and then, you know, the art for issue two is very rough as it goes into him being a 17-year-old and, like, that, you know, Smallville, it being a very small, almost hick town, like, it shows, like, everyone sort of already knows that Clark is special, but they don't want to, like, say anything. And then, you know, issue three is more fun. Like, people mistake Clark as being Bruce Wayne, and it's super fun. And
so a little World's Finest in there?
A little bit. Issue three and four go into that very well, with the dichotomy between Clark and Bruce before they're even, you know, Superman and Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And then issue five is probably my favorite of the 7. Art by Francis Manapul. Very colorful, very whimsical. It's like Superman, he has like an aviator helmet on, like an old school one with like goggles. And it's very, very just, it gets the core of what Superman should be. Max Landis gets Lex Luthor down.
Yes.
He gets him down to a T. Not this BVS, Jesse Eisenberg BS. That being said,
BVS. I'm sorry. I thought you said beefy ass. And I'm like, no. Not how I'd describe that character.
No. That being said, I actually thought, see, here's the thing. With Jesse Eisenberg, the performance in itself is excellent. It's just not Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
And also, the script's a little all over the map.
Yeah, the script's terrible. I'm hearing very good things about Justice League, though. I'm hearing very good things about Affleck, like, taking over the reins, sort of, like, ghost directing that movie.
I really hope. Because, like, we've gone over this before. Neither of us want the movie to be bad.
Yeah.
We want a really good Justice League
movie. I've heard great things tonally about this new Flash in Ezra Miller, so that's going to be great.
And anyways, new director, too.
Yeah.
I believe that happened during our hiatus.
Yes. Wait.
No.
For Justice League? No.
No, Flash.
For Flash? Oh, yeah.
Flash director got announced in, like, April.
Yeah, no, they replaced him, though.
Maybe May, I want to say. No, either way, we haven't addressed
it. They replaced the Flash director, but that's okay. I'm more excited for just how they fix, you know, I think they'll course correct. Honestly, Suicide Squad, I think, is going to course correct a lot of things tonally.
I hope so.
And then scenes with Batman, I think, are going to be more Batman-like.
Yeah. DC is such a bonkers-ass universe. Like, it deserves the full treatment.
Yeah. And I think they're going for it with Suicide Squad, and they're going to go for it again. Continuing into Justice League, I don't mean to, you know, get off comics, but into movies. Yes. But I honestly think when Superman inevitably comes back, mullet or not, I think we're gonna get the happy. we're gonna get the all-star Superman when he comes back. I honestly think that's
like true blue.
True blue, like humble. Red trunks, humble.
Too good, and every man will be a Superman.
He will be, with lack of a better term, rebirthed. I think, because Geoff Johns is...
Oh, I get it.
Geoff Johns is working on the movies now.
Oh, bless and his soul.
He's had his hand in the TV universe, and that's been doing very well, particularly with The Flash. And I think tonally these movies are going to be back on course. Back to comics, though.
Yeah,
Superman American Alien is absolutely fantastic. Do pick it up once it comes out in a collected edition. Saga, right now I'm currently wearing a Lion Cat t-shirt. Saga is great. Volume 6 just came out. If you're reading it in trades, I read it in single issues.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely wonderful. Brian K. Vaughan is on a roll with anything he's writing. And speaking of Brian K. Vaughan, I also read Doctor Strange the Oath, which is something he wrote. It's a 4-issue miniseries that is out in trade.
I've also been reading The Oath.
It's very good, and I'm willing to bet the movie will take plenty of elements from that. as it's a very bread and butter origin story of Doctor Strange, which still gets to the core of who he is as a character. Bookbin Salem. I went to a book club there, and one of my friends, Megan, who works there, she recommended We Can Never Go Home, which I haven't read yet, but it just looking at the art and just the basic narrative, it has a very like punk DIY thing going on. Like there are people,
also something I like
in the book, like trading mixtapes and stuff, and like I'm very involved in like Corvallis DIY, which is a
punk. You are the physical definition and dictionary picture of indie.
Donald,
have you seen your glasses?
I support independent things. Like I support like Corvallis DIY, which is very punk and very upstart music type things, and that's what We Can Never Go Home is kind of about.
Sure, and you're also saying that on an independently run podcast.
That is also true. Yeah, and I'm also like sort of anti-capitalism. So
I'm also admiring your flannel.
Yes, I have a flannel. See, I'm wearing a Lion Cat t-shirt
from
an indie comic with a flannel. I have glasses. I just ordered round glasses independently
So you see what I'm getting at.
I wouldn't call myself a hipster though, because when I say, okay, there's a whole nother diatribe about hipster. Like, you know, have you ever been to Tried and True downtown?
No.
Or there's a coffee place called Tried and True in Corvallis, and there's another coffee place called Archive in Salem. And it's all about, like, the aesthetic, you know? Like, the Instagram aesthetic with, like, succulents. No, I don't mind it. It's, like, it's just not my thing. But, like, you know, it's all about taking fancy pictures and, like, getting the lighting right. And it's, like...
Oh, jeez.
But I am very grassroots indie, I guess. I don't know how else to say it. Sure, I'm indie. You can call me indie.
Would you say you're indie before it was cool?
I mean... No, well...
Because you're retro indie.
Because there's different kinds of indie. Like, I wouldn't say I'm, like, a Tumblr-type indie. Definitely... That's not indie.
Actually, no, I've seen your blog.
But I haven't posted on it in forever.
Sure, sure.
And I only reblog, like, Pokemon stuff, which we'll get to that later.
Oh, I'm sure.
But anyways, We Can Never Go Home. Great, great book. Even though I haven't read it yet. I paged through the art, and the art looks fantastic. I have a few more books to go over, but I'll hand it back to Ben.
Cool. Well, I'm actually, you know, I finally got some time. I finally got some free time.
Sure.
Right after graduation, before I start worrying about that that big looming job thing I have to do in the distance.
So you don't have school anymore, so that's great.
I have, like, two more summer classes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. But you, like, still graduated.
Still graduated.
So, okay.
Oh, my God. I can't wait till this summer when all I have to worry about is Infinity Break, showing up to work, and reading.
Yeah, that's pretty much, like, what I'm, like, looking forward to now. Like, I already know what I'm going to do post-college. Like, this, more solo stuff, maybe, more stuff with Ian, maybe, more stuff with, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sort of outside-of-the-box type stuff.
I'm finally taking you up on your recommendations.
Yes.
You recommended a lot of stuff to me.
What have you read?
Fuck, man. Vision's really good.
Vision's really good.
Vision's really good.
How far are you?
I think I got up to the end of issue 3. Which is what's on Unlimited right now.
On Unlimited, yeah.
Yeah.
I've read up to issue 8, which is what's current, and it is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Tom King.
You were not fucking around.
No.
When you said that was a very creepy
book. I told you. It's very...
It's like, it's the Vision. How creepy can it get?
It's like almost...
Oh, very creepy.
It's like a Shakespearean horror.
It's...
It reminds me.
Yeah, you know what? Kinda.
Yeah, because you have to read more issues to get what I'm saying.
No, sure. And I don't disagree with you in the slightest, because obviously you're further along than I am.
Yeah.
But as I was just like, you know, I might have to refresh my memory a bit, because I think I must have read this at this point like 2.5 weeks ago.
Sure.
But I remember the narration, the means of narration really stuck with me. Because isn't it, how does it go again?
What, with the narration?
Yeah.
It's so
removed.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as, like, you know, meanwhile across town, you know, like what you do for Westport.
Yeah.
Or as personal as, like, you know, Batman Diary, Day 7, Joker's still loose, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, it weirdly, you know, it's weirdly between those two, But because it's, I guess, coming from Vision or certainly a robotic perspective, it's well, so removed in... Oh, is that a spoiler in and of itself?
I don't want to say who the narrator is.
Okay, well then but, never mind. But it's so removed and analytical that, you know, I mean, there are scenes where, like, you know, no spoilers, like, deaths almost happen. Yep. There's a scene where a death actually does happen.
Well, I can't wait for you to catch up, because the great thing about Tom King's writing and Gabriel H. Walta's art, and I think Jordi Belair is on colors, I can't remember, but whoever's coloring is doing an absolutely fantastic job as well. The great thing about Tom King is, and he's kind of the new Scott Snyder in that he's...
Sorry, Scott Snyder.
Well, no, Scott Snyder's great, but, like, yeah. Tom King is just on a blade. He's, like, sort of like Brian K. Vaughan now, where he's, like, on this, like, trail of, like, writing great book after great book after great book. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think The Vision is the best book that Marvel's putting out right really now. Good. Because it's not getting into any Civil War II BS. It's self-contained.
Thank Christ.
And it's this sort of, like, Shakespearean horror story, but there's so much social commentary on racism, on just the social aspects of, like...
otherness.
Being different. Yeah. And that says so much about... you know, it sort of reminds me of, like... you know, back in the 60s with X-Men and, like, No More Mutants type stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or, like, you know, civil rights. And now we're in a... Should I go? Now we're in a time where, you know... there are other issues that are still coming up with civil rights, whether it be homosexual rights or black rights. I mean, we, you know, just the other day...
Well, yeah, this week's been hell.
This week, we're getting into police brutality, stuff like that. So when we look at The Vision, I truly appreciate Tom King's work, not only as a truly new way to look at the character... but as a story as a whole, I mean, 8 issues in, it's just very, very well written and very well done.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is the narration is just so removed from the story and so analytical that there's no emotion behind it.
Yeah.
Which makes scenes of such intense emotion, like people almost dying or people actually dying, or you know, what would be trauma to any other character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's weird that, there's so many times where, you know, you, the reader, experience the emotion of it, and then the narrator, like, doesn't hold your hand at all and just keeps moving on as analytically as possible.
And what's...
and that is such an interesting narrative thing. And they're like, it's legitimately a weird dissonance between art and script.
I agree.
I mean, certainly it was intentional, but I mean, like, you know, the art is very emotional and the narration is not.
Yeah, that's
very...
and that's
what makes it so interesting.
That's very intentional, too, because... the great thing about Vision is Tom King writes him in a way where he's trying to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to be human, but everyone sees him as different. And that's so poignant in, like, the sort of culture we're in 2016,
mm-hmm.
of, like, being different but trying to be normal.
Yeah.
And I think assimilation, exactly. I think that's very important.
Not to borrow the most robotic word I can think of.
Yeah. And as much as I love
the Borg.
As much as I love the new Doctor Strange from Marvel as well, by Jason Aaron, and we can talk about that actually after Vision. But I personally believe The Vision is the best book Marvel is putting out right now. Tom King is one of the best writers in the business, in the industry right now, and DC was very smart to sign him exclusively on Batman, which is, I haven't started yet, but I've heard great things about all these new Rebirth titles across the board, which is why my current pull list is, you know, it was mostly Marvel, but now I'm like, okay, I don't want to do any of the Civil War II stuff. I'm kind of done with it.
I hate events.
I have event fatigue. I just want single, self-contained stories, and that seems to be what they're doing with DC Rebirth with many of the books. Anyways, I've heard great things about Green Arrow, which I've picked up, you know, the Rebirth issue and the first 2 issues, and I haven't read it yet, but I've heard great things about Green Arrow, great things about Batman, also written by Tom King. Superman is fantastic, and I hopefully after American Alien you pick up Superman as well. That is a great read. It's back to the core of, like, who Superman is. Anyways.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's fantastic as well. All these books. I'm going to pick up Supergirl, which is coming out soon. All-Star Batman from Scott Snyder. And a whole slew of like some of the best Batman artists in modern times.
I listened to the War Rocket Ajax interview that they did with Scott Snyder.
Like, I have signed up.
A month ago.
Doom Patrol by Gerard Way is coming out in the fall. I'm going to pick up everything under DC's new imprint, Young Animal.
Well, it's before we go into too much DC, there's a couple more Marvel stuff.
Yeah. Go ahead.
At Katie's recommendation. And I guess yours first. But
Katie's, it was mine first.
Just Katie's so very excited about her. Squirrel Girl.
Okay, I knew Kitty would love that book because...
Yeah, didn't know she was going to computer science. That was fantastic. I had no idea.
You didn't know that?
I knew she was, quote-unquote, going to college.
Oh, but you didn't know
she was doing computer science.
I knew it was the perfect book for Kitty.
I was like, wow, this is literally Kitty with short hair.
It was... Yeah, literally, it's like...
and a tail, I guess.
Like, Kitty would dress up as Squirrel Girl for Halloween because it's... like, Katie's Squirrel Girl, pretty much. Like,
we miss you. Please come back.
Yeah, we will definitely visit. We'll go up there, yeah. We will definitely go up there and record sometime. But the great thing is, Ryan North, who did Adventure Time stuff before, he's perfect for writing Squirrel Girl because you have all these like little like side narratives and
Ryan North, what Ryan North does best, you know, based on his ever popular webcomic, Dinosaur Comics,
right,
is what Ryan North does best. And he said this, I believe it was on War Rocket Ajax,
yeah,
that when you use the same art over and over and over and over again, and art's not even a factor in what you do, you write dialogue like nothing else.
Yeah.
Because that guy literally has like 6 copy-pasted images of dinosaurs that he uses.
Yeah.
Everything else, it's all in his script.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and that is, man, that is a wordy book.
Yeah.
Like, intentionally, because that's the character.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, wow. It's just, it's so fucking fun.
Yeah.
It's literally, you know.
I'll just check that out. I haven't seen that yet.
Haven't seen what?
The dinosaur comic.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. When I said so bonkers, I was talking about Squirrel Girl. But, yeah, no, Dinosaur Comics was where he got his start.
Okay, cool.
Dinosaur Comics comes from, like, the same era of webcomics that, like, XKCD did.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So things that started in like the mid 2000s,
like XKCD, and then the Oatmeal sort of.
Oatmeal, I'd even say was like the next generation.
Okay.
But I'm thinking.
Sure.
XKCD, Dinosaur Comics, like Dr. McNinja, and like Hark a Vagrant.
I was just gonna say. Yeah.
Like all started around the same time. Then the next generation.
Next gen was like
Oatmeal and Oatmeal,
Cater Die.
Yeah, Nimona.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Like, and then the, you know, the very, very first webcomics, like, Jesus, fucking like VG Cats and like,
yeah,
like 8-Bit Adventures school. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Or what was that Final Fantasy one?
I can't
like,
remember.
Like really old school, like 2002.
There are a lot.
Anyway,
Squirrel Girl.
One of these days I will like actually want to compile like a history of webcomics in like a series, in like a series of articles.
Because, yeah,
like,
you should.
That's such a cool era. Like, I'm sure we've talked about this on the show before, but like, you know, Wonder Woman's like my entry point character. Mm-hmm. But like
you would love the Rebirth stuff.
Oh, sure.
You need
but
to pick
like,
that up.
Webcomics are my entry point medium. I didn't get in right. through superhero comics. I got in through webcomics.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I got in through things
a
like...
A lot of people do.
Like, you know, it sounds dumb, but like video game comics, and then XKCD, and then you start picking up like, you know, more complex things. You know, what my big eye-opener moment was, and by the way, again, I recommend this, Sin Tetulo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like really got into webcomics, and then I started writing webcomics.
Well, a lot of people who write webcomics and are consistent with it and have a following end up getting jobs.
Noelle Stevenson,
Kate Leth, and her book
Ryan North, obviously.
Ryan
you were
North.
Just mentioning.
Yeah, Kate Leth's Hellcat's really, really, really fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it when I can.
Oh, anyway, Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, no, but it's in that same. It's in the same vein of Squirrel Girl, like, you know, Lumberjanes, Squirrel Girl, Gotham Academy, all these like, you know, sort of pop arty books, but they're so much fun. Like, they're not your typical cookie cutter superhero book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have so much fun, and that's why, again, back to Squirrel Girl. For those of you who haven't listened to previous episodes, like, Katie is so spunky. And like she's so nerdy.
No, I know
and,
what you mean.
No, but like her personality traits, being a CS student, well, a CS
graduate, Mazel Tov,
and as a girl in as a young woman in STEM, and Katie is like the poster child for like girls in STEM, and she graduated magna cum laude, I think.
Fucking goddamn it.
And she has a great job at Nexus now in Portland. And
we miss her dearly.
And we miss her dearly. But, like, Squirrel Girl is just so her. Like, I just, that's why I recommended it to her. And it's such a great book for everyone to read, yeah, but specifically for her, just because of all the CS jokes. And
it's so nice picking up. And this is what I loved about Ms. Marvel, too. Ms. Marvel. It's so nice diving into a comic book that isn't connected to anything else. And it's just its own encapsulated little world.
Yeah.
Within the Marvel universe that we love.
Right.
You know, what? Ms. Marvel's biggest connection. The only thing necessary for the Ms. Marvel, like the first like 12 issues of Ms. Marvel to exist, is that Captain Marvel has to exist.
Right.
And that's it. But pretty much. Oh, and the Inhumans.
Ms. Marvel is very almost self-contained. Yeah. And though, the only
thing that,
great.
And the only thing for Squirrel Girl that has to exist is that the Avengers exist.
Yeah.
And the Avengers almost never really come into it. Iron Man.
Here's the thing with diversity, though. There are things about the Marvel.
Sure, but I'm sorry, but like just to get back to the whole thing, like we're talking about, you just mentioned event fatigue.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, literally the antithesis to it. Of just encapsulated little stories.
Oh, yeah.
In an encapsulated little bubble.
Absolutely.
Like, again, Squirrel Girl interacts with Iron Man and a fictional Captain America in a flashback.
Yeah.
In those first couple of issues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the rest of it is like her and her own team of dorks.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's so fun. That's... It's so tightly, it's just great. It's just so well done.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to deal with, you know, the issue where everything changes and all that kind of stuff. And all that kind of BS or the big shakeups where now like Dr. Doom's apparently a fucking Iron Man or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. See, that's, I was about to, that
sounds bad.
I was about to get into it about like, there are moments of diversity that Marvel's done really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ms. Marvel being a Pakistani teen. Like that's something an entire,
gotta love that book,
community can relate to. To one, that one hero.
I mean, hell, that's something I can relate to.
And same with Miles Morales, a black Spider-Man, or a black Latino Spider-Man. That's fantastic. And they're two very popular characters in this new Marvel universe. One thing I'm critical, though, about diversity is that we can't get, or at least we haven't had in a while, like, they just got Captain America back. Steve Rogers, Captain America. And they do the Hail Hydra thing.
Jesus.
They fix it in issue 2, by the way, which I knew would happen.
Yeah, no, we all knew it would
happen. But, you know, it's one of those things where even though the storytelling is excellent in the way Nick Spencer does it, you know, I just want bread. You know, sometimes we as fans want bread and butter, like Steve Rogers, Captain America being Captain America. Bread and butter. Thor Odinson being Thor. And I'm sure we'll get back to that someday. I liked the Jane Foster Thor a lot.
I think that's something I'm going to get into, but yeah.
I like those new iterations of characters a lot, but I wish that Marvel sort of took the approach that they did with Miles Morales and Kamala Khan. Because they're new characters. They're not. They don't change the old ones. Do you know what I mean?
No. And although, I mean, in fairness, there's... Maybe it's a level of prioritization, because nominally they're not that different. Because they're both, you know, all of the characters you just mentioned are in some way or another legacy characters.
Right.
That also work with their predecessor. Like, there are issues of, you know, Jane Foster Thor and Odinson Thor working together. And you know, same with...
That's cool.
Yeah, same with the Spider-Man, same with Ms. and Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
To one degree or another. Or at least interacting, if they're working with each other. But maybe it's a... And I'm not sure what the difference is, why two of those feel different. Well, maybe it's a level of prioritization.
It's not that I'm anti-diversity, because I'm pro.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you are. I'm saying, sure. I'm wondering why Miles Morales and Kamala Khan feel different than Jane Foster does in your mind. When essentially they're all,
I think it's because we don't,
the same.
I think it's because we don't get Thor. I mean, she is... She carries on the mantle of Thor, but we don't get Thor Odinson being Thor as well. You know what I mean? Because Mjolnir.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
You know what?
I still, that being said, I think
it just occurred to me, if I may.
Sure.
I think with Thor, in my head and probably in a lot of other people's heads is, oh yeah, but Thor will come back for that role.
Eventually.
Eventually. That in our head, like, oh yeah, Thor is still the rightful wielder of the Thor title.
Yeah.
Whereas with Spider-Man and Captain Marvel has literally moved on from that title. And
she used to be Ms. Marvel.
And yeah, yeah,
that, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Captain Marvel has moved on from the Ms. Marvel title, and Peter Parker just, I mean, works with the other Spider-Man, you know? Whereas with Thor, there's definitely like a, oh, well, it always technically belongs to Odin's, and he'll get it back eventually, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but it's
whereas
funny.
Whereas those other characters can thrive without it.
It's funny with Marvel right now, it's because, for me, I don't know, seeing
that's
like,
my take.
Like
I don't
Peter,
know.
Seeing Peter Parker as like a CEO, that's not, I mean, they poke fun at it in the book, but it's like, I just want, like, bread and butter Peter Parker stories. And maybe it's, you know, maybe Marvel wants to do something different with that. I don't know. But they keep relaunching these number ones. Like, they're doing Marvel Now again in the fall. And to be honest, like, I'm more, like, I will definitely still read The Vision. I will still read Doctor Strange, and I'll still read Moon Knight. And I'll read Ms. Marvel in trades, and I'll read Squirrel Girl, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All the good books that are like self-contained that don't need to be.
Yeah, the nice,
you know,
self-contained
feeding
ones.
Into events, but like
use more of those.
Yeah, but now there's, you know, Iron Man and Captain America, and they're sort of feeding these into another event, and it's like, well, I don't want another event. I feel like Secret Wars just ended.
Well, I hate the events, and then I always hate what comes after the events, where everything has to be different.
Right.
And like I don't even know the full story details. All I know is that there's an Iron Man book with Doctor Doom in it as the lead, and I don't.
They
want
also have a black female Iron Man as
oh,
well.
Oh yeah, I mean that sounds cool.
Yeah,
but,
no, that's
but
cool.
The idea of like, oh, Doctor Doom's Iron Man now. I'm like, why though?
It's
like,
I don't know.
That just seems. Honestly, to me, that just seems like they pulled that out of a hat. Like, all right, today on post-event shakeup,
I'm curious to see what they do.
Doctor Doom is now.
I'm curious
an
to
Avenger.
See what they do
or whatever.
In the future.
You know what I mean?
Power Man and Iron Fist, also excellent book, and that is self-contained as well. Mm-hmm. Has a very 70s feel. Art by Sanford Green, very very good. See all the books that are self-contained and don't
are doing really well, or
yeah.
At least, or if not financially, at least with
they're acclaimed.
Like us.
Yeah, and I think that's why we're seeing a slow shift towards DC and a lot of readers, because they're Rebirth is actually being very successful by
yeah,
like
well they've only had you know
two
months.
Issues.
They're not really doing events now, you know.
Well, I mean, there was the one book that, like,
oh, yeah.
Course corrected everything, but I don't really see that.
I wouldn't count the prologue, so to speak, as an event.
Yeah, and now all these books that are coming out bi-weekly,
yeah.
It's sort of a return to form. Like, Aquaman, I read, and it's very good. Green Arrow, I haven't read the second issue yet, but it's
heard
very,
great things.
Very, very good. The goatee's back. He's in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
He's it's really cool. Green Lanterns, even, like, there's an issue, like...
Jessica Cruz and Simon Best.
Yeah, like, there's an issue where Jessica isn't, like, the outskirts of Portland, and, like,
hey,
it's cool, like, I just find, like, a lot of these DC books are returning to form. There is there's a panel from Superman that I wish I could show you. It's, like, so, in the New 52, pre-52 Superman...
Oh,
comes out from Convergence.
Yeah, I know about that.
And then there's a miniseries, or there's a series called Superman, Lois and Clark.
Yep.
They had a son named Jonathan. And now in Rebirth, this pre-52 Superman is the new is the Superman in Rebirth now.
Yeah, it's
new
some wild 50, stuff.
New 52 Superman sacrificed himself.
Yep.
And there's this
Rip.
Brilliant, brilliant page of Superman, Lois, and his son Jonathan. And it's like, it looks like, it almost looks like something that Frank Quitely would draw.
Mm.
I can't remember the artist's name for this new Superman book.
Sure.
But it was just them smiling, like, next to a tree or something. Bright colors.
Yeah.
And it says, all it says is House of L. And it's so great. I love it. The new Superman book is great.
Kind of like the Crisis on Infinite Earths, Golden Age Superman.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Going up into the bubble.
Yeah, it's just great. I don't know what they did. Like, I think Geoff Johns talked to each like team individually. I think they got a roundup on editorial and like I'm really enjoying the relaunch. Like, my pull list is slowly. Gradually turning into almost all DC now, besides Power Man and Iron Fist, Moon Knight,
Yeah.
Anyways, it's great.
I'm just going to wrap up through some Marvel titles I picked up. First couple issues of, you know, not really enough to make a good judgment of. Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Picked up the new Scarlet Witch series. Literally, it's just a pilot. Like, 100% is...
The second issue is the art in that is phenomenal.
Sure. Only number one's available on Unlimited right now.
Okay.
But it literally just reads... I mean, it's just her going out and doing an exorcism.
Sure.
And it's just, like, a perfect encapsulated, like, almost one-shot story. But you know, obviously, like, oh, number two is probably going to have some...
Number two is phenomenal. Whatever. The art in that is some of the best art I've seen in a long time.
Really enjoyed it. Started reading the new all-new Wolverine with...
I hear that's good.
With X-23 as Wolverine.
I hear that's very good.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not...
Read the first two issues.
I'm not too into X characters, but...
Sure. But, no, I'm enjoying it. It's certainly got a nice layer of suspense to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice narrative hook, which I probably don't want to spoil.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's the end of the first issue. Do you care?
Nope.
Okay. She's fighting a series of assassins that are all the other clones.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so she's fighting...
That's interesting.
...other X-23s.
That's cool.
Probably X-11 through 23.
Yeah.
Presumably that Wolverine is 10.
Okay.
Get a Weapon X.
That's interesting.
And then Doctor Strange as well.
Doctor Strange is first three
or four issues, I want to say, of that. That is a fascinating hook. I don't even know what to call the genre that I like, but I really like the tropes of, like, higher magical planes kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the first issue ends.
Yes.
Yeah, with the like the moths being burnt out of the sky.
Yep.
That kind of stuff. And, like, you know, the whole thing with the Inquisitors and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
These are spoilers, obviously. But, like, that is, I don't know, I really like the idea of, like, higher magical planes of existence stuff, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because you know where else I really like it?
Mm.
Lord of the Rings. I really like it in Lord of the Rings with the Maiar and the Valar.
Yeah.
I mispronounced both of those. But you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Like, but, like, the Lord of the Rings, like, you know, godhead of, like... Yeah, well, sorcerers and Ishtari and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really like it in this book where, like, each of the different magical realms is, like, different or backwards or whatever. I guess you can kind of see some of that stuff in, like, Iron Fist stories sometimes.
Yeah.
But I always love the idea of, like, alternate dimensions interfering with each other.
And you only read the first three?
First three or four, I want to say.
Does it get that much better? It gets really good. It gets into this arc called Last Days of Magic.
Yes.
And it's phenomenal. It's really almost a tie for me between Vision and Doctor Strange, but Vision is... It's splitting hairs. Like, Vision, Doctor Strange, Moon Knight, and Power Man and Iron Fist. Those four are... my favorites. And of course I love Squirrel Girl and Kamala, Ms. Marvel as well. But I've just been really attached to these four books in particular. Sure. Just
And then finally I have been trying to find a good jumping on point for the Thor story.
You should
both so that I can enjoy three different arcs pretty much that I'm looking at.
Mm.
Jane Austen. Writer of Pride and Prejudice. Jane Foster arc. The arc before that, the whole Godslayer, Godkiller, whatever it was.
I was going to say, you should start on that one.
But I also heard that the Journey into Mystery, Jason Aaron stuff before... Or Karen Gillan stuff. Karen Gillan, excuse me.
Mm.
Stuff before that was really good. He did, like, 30 issues of Journey into Mystery before Marvel Now happened that I heard was spectacular.
Yeah, I'm sure it's great.
And here's the problem, is that every time I keep going back, and then I'm like, oh, clearly I need to start earlier. And then going back, and I'm like, oh, clearly I need to start earlier.
I mean, that could go all the way back to the, you know.
That could go back to the fucking Walter Simonson.
I would honestly say start with Jason Aaron. Like, do Thor God of Thunder 1 through 25 and the annuals. And then that continues into the new Thor. I think, I can't remember what issue. It was a random issue of some event, but like. It's where Thor, like, Nick Fury whispers into his ear, and then he can't lift Mjolnir anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy, but that 25-issue run is phenomenal. It's some of the best Thor I've ever read.
All right.
I would start with, because Jason Aaron's still writing Thor today.
Yeah,
so just,
yeah, of course.
I would just, his, anything Jason Aaron has written Thor-wise, I think I would start there. That, because.
Right. I think I'm going to try to finish up Journey into Mystery, though, because just look okay. how beautiful that art is.
Yeah, it's great.
And like, hold up. There we go.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Absolutely.
Like that Loki right there.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah, definitely. Like Kieran Gillen's
I'm just trying to find a good starting point.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
so hard. And I see now why people are like, yeah, it's difficult to get into mainstream Big Two comics.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's not. I'm like, oh, no, it absolutely is.
It is. And, you know, even with DC Rebirth, something I'm critical about that is the big, the $3 80-page book, mm-hmm. that it was not for new readers.
No, that's...
That was to get all the old ones back.
I'm a huge DC fan, and I, from what I heard on social media, mm-hmm. like, even just people describing basic, like, oh yeah, on this page that happens, or whatever, I just like,
sure.
that sounds incomprehensible.
No, the book itself is great.
I'm sure I'll read it eventually, but just, like, hearing about it, I'm just like, oh boy, they really expect to...
That's the thing. Like I read then review. I can't just take.
Oh no, so do I. But like first impressions are still a thing.
Yeah, I guess. But I still want to read it. Like
yeah.
same with Captain America, the whole Hail Hydra thing. Like they explained it in issue 2,
mm-hmm.
but then again, like tons of people commented on that Hail Hydra thing that didn't even read comics, and it's like, well,
I wouldn't say they didn't read comics.
There were a lot of people on social media that. Didn't read comics that put in a criticism about the Hail Hydra thing.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people that, I mean, on the flip side of that coin, there are a lot of people that
do read comics.
Do yeah. read comics a lot, and there are also a lot of people that don't read comics. That I put out a string of tweets the other day that when the whole reread thing got announced, they're like, oh hey, it's my favorite time of the year, time for people who don't read comics to get mad about minorities in comics.
Yeah.
That happens
yeah,
every goddamn yeah. time. It happened with Sam Wilson, Cap. That happened with Jane,
well,
Jane
again,
Foster, Thor.
It's mostly with Marvel. And, like, I think those runs are great. Like it's cool that, you know, we can have a black Captain America, even though he's still technically Falcon.
No, for sure. No, it's...
I just wish we had, like... They did what they did before, where they just create a new character. I think that's...
Sure.
I don't know. I like that idea better. Because, like, when they made Ice... When Brian Michael Bendis made Iceman gay,
mm-hmm.
like, that's fine, but it wasn't executed well, I don't think.
No, that was also a press thing, because it was
yeah.
leaked very clumsily.
Yeah, so...
Anyway... But those are all the books that I have absolutely started reading. Are there any more that you've been reading, or could we move on to a segment called What Do We Want to Start Reading? Because I have a list.
Saga has continued to be fantastic.
That is on that list for me.
Yeah, again, Volume 6 just came out.
I think I've got the first two on my computer somewhere.
I reread Killing Joke for a book club.
Oh.
One of the darkest Batman stories, if not the darkest Batman story.
Mm-hmm.
For many reasons. What else? I read The Oath. I read some Saga. Moon Knight. I'm just repeating myself now.
Do you want to just move into stuff we want to read?
Sure. Yeah, let's cool. do that.
I'm going to stray away from the big two for this. Because
okay.
I have got a lot of recommendations from a lot of people, and almost none of them are big two books.
Okay.
Except for you. You recommend...
You
recommend some Marvel and some DC.
I'm telling you, American Alien is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, I know. Things I've marked down on my Unlimited. I want to start going through and finding like the old Blade books.
Okay.
Blade and also like Morbius the Living Vampire shit. Like just old weird 70s.
Sure, yeah.
70s Marvel. They put a book that I've literally been wanting to read forever on Marvel Unlimited. Doctor Strange and Doctor Doom, Triumph and Torment.
I got that for my roommate for his birthday last year.
Have you read it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good, and it's all on Unlimited. It's like 81 pages, so I'm going to crack that open soon.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I have like the full Why the Last Man in my room right now, and I really want to open it.
I'm in the middle of volume one right now. I'm on a what do you call it? I am on a binge. Huge Brian K. Vaughan binge right now, like with Saga. I want to read The Private Eye. I want to read. I guess he's taking over Walking Dead. I guess. Yeah. Like, I think that's a thing.
What?
Like, I think they. Yeah.
Okay.
So Robert Kirkman.
Hashtag controversial opinion.
Okay.
Why not just end the series?
It's too popular.
I know, but is it? Because the. Yeah. I mean, I know the comic.
The comic is always in the top 10 every time it's out. And once Brian K. Vaughan takes over, it could go in a totally new direction.
I know, but like, okay, here are my concerns.
Sure.
You know, let me lay out my argument here.
Sure.
The TV show already got kind of repetitive.
Yeah.
The comic has been going that much longer.
Yeah.
I stopped around issue 30. I'm sure it started repeating, you know, at least, if not repeating actual plot lines, certainly the idea of, oh, everyone, you know, after a while, oh, everyone's in danger and you can't really connect with anyone for too long, I will imagine kind of gets tiring after a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because if everyone can die between, you know, 6 to 12 issues or 20 issues after they get introduced, and that happens, like, you know, 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 times, I would imagine I would just, like, kind of stop caring about anybody at that point.
Well, I haven't read that far into The Walking Dead, but from what I've heard, it's still consistently good. And
oh, sure.
I don't think Brian K. Vaughan is even writing the main book, even. Let me see. I think from what I'm looking up right now, he's doing an offshoot, like, Walking Dead story.
Oh, sure. Well, I guess what I'm getting at is, like, it seems like, at this point, Robert Kirkman has written, I want to say, like, 130 issues of that comic, and it seems like at a certain
150.
Point, 150.
It's over 150.
Yeesh.
And it's, oh yeah, and I guess people still really love it.
Yeah, I guess number 100 was like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
or 4 years.
It's ago. It's fine if it's not your cup of tea, but it's still very, very popular. Oh no,
here's the thing: it is my cup of tea.
You just haven't read it.
No, I've read the first 30 issues.
But I'm saying you're not caught up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is my cup of tea. What I'm saying is, at a certain point, if your main creator, who's written almost the entire story, is stepping down,
mm-hmm.
it would make sense to me to just end the series.
Well, I don't
think... To just, like, literally have the main characters, like, walk off into the sunset.
Yeah.
And have the promise of, like, you know, maybe they'll make it out of here someday. And then, like, fade to black. To white or something.
From what I'm reading, that's not the case. He's just writing an offshoot one-shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you understand my logic. Like, after 150 sure. issues under the same author.
Sure.
Like, it's just not going to be the same book, so you might as well just...
Yeah, it's called...
Just leave it with an open ending.
The Walking Dead, The Alien.
Oh.
Is what Brian K. Vaughan wrote.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting
title. It might be out. By now.
Yeah.
Oh, other any pretty I, much I anything know. Anything
leave, Brian, the open, leave an open ending, just drop it.
Pretty much anything Brian K. Vaughan, like, I want to read, like Why the Last Man, sure. Private Eye, We Stand on Guard, Paper Girls, which I gifted to Katie for her grad party.
Somebody also started. Oh, my friend, one of my Twitter mutuals also started reading it. Yeah.
So yeah, Brian K. Vaughan is on a huge warpath of awesomeness. So Brian K. Vaughan, everything Tom King is writing, Omega Men,
mm-hmm.
This is a small 12-issue run, but it's fantastic through DC before he was signed exclusively.
Yeah.
He's writing Batman Now, which I haven't read yet because I'm like catching up at the tail end of the New 52 run that Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo,
which is also
was also so good. What else? Tom King is doing Sheriff of Babylon, which is through Vertigo. I have the number one of that, but I want to read that entirely.
Have you heard of Cryptocracy?
No.
That's on my list. Here, let me go through my list real quick. I got recommended this manga called My Hero Academia. Don't know if it's good or bad. Apparently it's a superhero. It's like a American superhero manga thing.
Okay.
I don't know. My friend Andy recommended it. He's never given me a bad rec. But yeah, no, for me it's Saga, Sandman, Why the Last Man. And there's one more that I feel like completes like in my head, like, these four are like, oh yeah, these are the long-running indie comics. Oh, Fables.
Yeah, those are like
the big four long-running indie comics.
Cream of the crop, for sure.
Why the Last Man, Saga, Fables, and Sandman. Anyway, or to whatever extent you can call Sandman an indie comic.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. It's not a superhero book. And then there are a couple like small series that I just kind of want to pick up on. You know, things that you just hear about. Cryptocracy is one of them.
Okay.
It's Illuminati shit.
Oh, okay.
And I'm 100% here for Illuminati shit. As a member of the Illuminati myself. I won't make the joke, because I'll cut that out. But no, like, it's apparently, like, the whole world has been ruled by, like, seven families for the last 1,000 years.
Okay.
Like, that kind of stuff. And, like, all sort, and they have, like, you know, like, it's literally, like, the kind of, like, the writer whose name I'm spacing on is trying to, oh, it's Van Jensen.
Okay.
Is basically trying to, like, mold as many, like, basically American conspiracy theory stuff into one story. So it's got, like, cryptids, it's got, you know, like, lizard people and, like, you know, mind slaves and, like, the whole, like, Illuminati paranoia stuff. And, like, oh, you know, they, you know, I don't know if you've ever, okay, I actually, like, really dig this shit. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen these websites that are, like, half, they're, like, Illuminati paranoia sites, and they're just wild. They're these conspiracy theories about, like, how certain buildings are built to welcome our alien overlords, you know, and create portals to second dimensions and stuff. And it's just wild stuff. Anyway, so he's writing that as a book.
Cool.
As a book, like, that makes narrative sense. And apparently it's coming out, like, this or next month.
Okay.
So I, like, that's something I want to read issue to issue.
Yeah, definitely.
Long-time listeners on the show will know that I mostly wait for trades, but, like, this premise sounds so interesting, and as a mystery, I feel like it would benefit from reading it month to month.
And supports the book, and it keeps it alive, and supports the industry, so it's all good.
Yeah, I'll flash you some art later, because it looks really interesting.
Awesome.
But yeah, basically I just want to keep up on the series that I've already started, the ones that are kind of trickling through on Unlimited. That Doctor Doom, Doctor Strange one, those big four titles.
Yeah.
And then this book. But that's me.
Yeah, awesome.
Do you want to find out what our listeners have been reading?
Sure, yeah, my Twitter was sort of exploding
while I was driving over here. That was my fault. Well, we got some new fans during our hiatus.
That's awesome.
And hopefully we do not lose them once we start posting again.
No, I think it's good.
Alrighty.
Did I tell you that Mark Maron tweeted at me?
Yes, you did. Holy shit. Yeah, yeah, he was giving you mic racks.
Yeah, which I will pick up because I am investing in... Literally, this fall, I'm going to be so broke. Okay, so I switched to, you know, DCA, NMC major.
Yeah, you did.
Like, welcome yourself.
Team.
And
like I was.
Like you were. I'm investing in the new MacBook, the new iPhone, and a new mic.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
shit.
So I'm dropping, like, pretty much all my FAFSA money. Like,
oh, I feel you.
On equipment that I will use.
If it works, it works.
If it works, it works. Because I'm going to be editing with Audition, which will be fantastic, which I will use for new shows. Although I don't think I can, I don't know if I can keep up with editing Super Cinema in the fall with
we'll
school.
We'll figure it out.
Because I'm going to be over, I will literally be you, but for KPVR. Like, I'm going to be
Hopefully I can still grab you for Westport and Super Cinema.
Oh, yeah. Like, if we find a day, I can just knock them all out.
Fantastic. Cool. So we have two responses this week. At Bethany Dozer, that is to say Beth Sudden Death, my fantastic artist on the webcomic Arcane that I write, has been reading Shoot Around, which is, quote, the most diverse webcomic I've seen in terms of race, gender, and sexuality, plus they kill zombies.
This is a webcomic?
This is a webcomic.
Awesome. I'll check that out.
And then our friend at TVBC Claringbolt, that is to say Tangerine, has said, I've started reading Arcane today and it's pretty great.
There you go.
Which
that's
is
awesome.
My book, obviously. Yeah. But then they followed that up with other webcomics I recommend, Rice Boy, Cucumber Quest, Monster Kind, Paranatural, and The End.
Are these all webcomics?
Those are all webcomics.
Okay, cool.
And Donald, as I've said earlier this episode, and as you know me as a person, I really like webcomics.
Yes. I hope to write one myself with one of my friends.
Again, send them my way. But I've actually, you know what, I forgot to mention these as we were mentioning things that we've started reading. I've actually recommended I've started a couple of webcomics.
Great.
Bethany, bless her soul, sends me so many webcomic recommendations, and I have to do the same thing that I tell everyone. I'm like, I'll get to it, I promise.
Yeah, I have a huge, like, I have just a stack of books. Indie, DC, Marvel, and otherwise, back at home in Corvallis. And there's a word for it in Japanese. It's called sundoku. It's when you have a huge pile of books that you, like, need to read, but you keep adding to the pile.
It's you, me, and Katie's problem.
Yes. Hopefully now with school over, I feel like, well, you've been reading a lot.
I have. I've had so much more time.
I've been super busy, but I've been trying to read a lot, and I'm sure Katie's reading a lot too. She's been Snapchatting what she's been reading.
Yep.
Like Wonder Woman, Supergirl.
Mm-hmm. I've been so busy. Infinity Break just launched 3 more podcasts to the uninformed listener. So I've been really busy producing those. And now, after taking 2 months off from it, I'm trying to get Westport back up off the ground.
Yeah.
Because we had to take a break for graduation, for the end of spring term, and to start these new shows. So I want to get Westport rolling again, so I don't have time anymore.
What I'm worried about is I'm pretty much going to be doing exactly that, but for the school. Crap.
I'm making some money in the process.
Well, yeah, luckily it's a good paying job, but it's definitely like it's 15 hours a week, but I'm definitely going to be there more than 15 hours a week. Yeah. Hands down.
Patreon.com/infinitybreak if you want to make my effort a paying job too.
Woo.
No, I started reading, Cam recommended to me Ava's Possession.
Okay.
Which is a really good multimedia webcomic. And when I say multimedia, are you familiar with, and this is a weird example, Homestuck?
Yes.
Yeah. You know how some pages are videos?
Yes.
This is the same thing.
Okay, cool.
Some of the pages are like animations or videos or GIFs. And some of the pages have like sound and stuff too. It is a weird... I haven't gotten far enough in it. Mm-hmm. I think I maybe got through the first 30 pages. But it's a weird like sci-fi fantasy story that involves both like alien overlords and demons.
Okay.
And it's colored really vibrantly. Like,
awesome.
I want to emphasize that this is a story that is in neon.
Mm.
And it's like, the coloring is fantastic. The art is great. The multimedia stuff is great. Then we're reading a fun, fantasy webcomic recommended to me by, Bethany called, Daughter of the Lilies.
Awesome.
Which is also pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah. I think that concludes this episode though.
Cool.
Until next time, I have been Ben Hamlin.
I'm Donald Orr.
You can find me at Ben C. Hamlin on Twitter.
You can find me at NotDonald on pretty much every social media.
And you can both find us out in the field as we capture more Pokemon.
Yes.
Donald, do we know what we're doing next time?
What are we doing next time? I don't
either
know.
Either Apocalypse or Preacher. Or anything we want, because it's our show.
Yeah. It's been like, what, a month since Apocalypse came out, and I don't want to see it.
It was literally just, hey, you know what? I'll give the audience the brief review right now. It was all right. It was just middle of the line.
Yeah, that's not what, I don't want to pay $12 to see that.
No, you know? Why would you?
So, even though it's our job at like to review stuff, it's like,
no one pays us, Donald.
Well, that's true.
Here, look, I'll literally let
I'd rather
you know what
see Cap. I'd rather see Civil War again.
It was literally for me. Halfway between Civil War and BVS. And that's not technically a good
okay.
movie.
Okay. I'd rather watch the Ultimate Edition of BVS. I want to see if there's any improvement.
I know. I just don't want to devote another
three hours to
that movie.
I want to give
another
it a chance.
3 hours and then another 2 hours of podcasting.
I want to give it a chance. I really do. Because I feel so bad for Ben Affleck. Like, because he's very passionate about Batman and is a big Batman fan himself. We'll see.
Well, not to end on a dour note.
Yeah.
We'll figure out what we're watching next time. But in the meantime, this has been...
Super Cinema.
This podcast was part of Infinity Break, where we tell stories our own way. If you want to stay in the loop about what we do here at Infinity Break, you can find us on any social media platform at Infinity Break 23. That's Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. If you like what we do here at Infinity Break, check out our other shows, comics, and videos at infinitybreak.net and help spread the word by telling other people about our team. Leave a review on iTunes. The more 5-star reviews we have, the easier it is for people to find us and share in the infinite madness. Don't forget to check out our store under the Shop tab on our site, and if you're feeling generous, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/infinitybreak. Your monthly donation can help us improve the quality of this show and develop more shows for your listening and viewing pleasure. Until next time, Infinity Breakers, stay in the loop.